You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into the Saturday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, and we're happy to be back with the Pacers still being alive and not being out of it. Unfortunately, Adam lost his voice. That hindered our Game 6 preview timing, so we apologize for that. But he cannot be on today for this recap, so it's just me to recap Game 6, Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News, and at 8.9 seconds. Adam hopefully can be healthy for the Game 7 preview tomorrow, but if not, more me, so I hope you like what I have to say, even though some of you seem not to. But anyway, we had to talk about Game 6, and 3 times 2 is 6, and 3 times 2 is what a triple-double looks like, and that is the iconic place to start, because Victor Oladipo, his shooting slump appears to be over, or at least his string of bad offensive play appears to be over. He was always good on defense this series, and he was doing all the little things he always does so well, but the shot seemed to disappear. Recently, this game, that trend completely ended. 6 of 8 from 3, 11 of 19 from the field, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, great defense. They put him on Korver. We'll talk about that later because Korver, I have to scream about that again. But a triple-double for Oladipo to lead the team to the victory, and that is the place to start and finish, of course. But, I mean, after all, we've clamored for him to come back offensively and turn this team around and right the ship. You know, every time anyone would write any piece of analysis on how this series was going, the response was usually, doesn't matter if the guards play well, the Pacers will win. And when you know it, the guards played well and the Pacers finally won. And that is on the heels of Depot, you know. I mean, the three-point shooting falling was huge. 6 of 8 from deep, like I said already. The pull-ups were there for him, which is the staple of what makes him ride up and down. And if the defense will always be there for him, you know, the offense is all that really is inconsistent. If it happens, he's just the best player on the court. And that's absolutely what he was tonight, plus 26 in 34 minutes. Leading the team substantially, and he was huge. But like I said just a second ago, with both guards being good, Collison finally coming around too. Darren Collison shot over 50%, I want to say, for the first time this series. 6 of 9 from the field, made 3 of his 4 threes, including some nice ones in the second to propel a huge run. And I guess the game flow is a place to go, thanks to Collison for that really, really easy segue. But the game flow is interesting because in the first quarter, it was pretty back and forth. And the Cavs seemed like they were in it, and I think that was some defensive tactic issues. And then in the second, you know, it was a battle for about the first 5 minutes, and then, you know, the Pacers really started to take over, and they got up 10, and they were up about 8 or 10 at halftime, and then they just destroyed the Cavs in the third and fourth quarters. They won the second half by 24 points. The final score was 121-87. I should always start with those. I just assume everyone who's listening watched the game, which might not be the best idea. But yeah, they were up 10 at halftime and then just blew the doors off the Cavs in the second half. And the way these games have been going all series, you never know what to expect in the third and fourth quarter. You know, maybe they could have come back, who knows. But finally, I mean, this is what this team can actually do if they put together a full game or at least three quarters of good play instead of just a half or, you know, even less than a half. They were amazing from start to finish. And it was really behind the two guards, but I have to shoot myself in the foot here and say my article about the center rotation didn't even matter. I mean, my clamoring was not that, you know, Turner shouldn't start. I thought I made that clear, but that Sabonis should just play more. Sabonis played less, and Sabonis was really good again. 9 of 11 from the field, 6 rebounds, plus 28. Team high, plus 28. Him and Lance both shared that mark. But Turner was just as good in his 27 minutes, 12 points. Amazing defense as usual, only 2 fouls. That's why he was able to stay on the court so much. Buried a 3, and I want to do some research into the Pacers' win percentage when Miles Turner hits a 3, but it has to be infinitesimally higher than when he doesn't, and that seems so obvious. But it just seems like there's like a really, really randomly strong correlation between him hitting a 3 and being that aggressive shooter and the team doing well versus him not doing that. But, you know, that's what the decision comes down to. Who does McMillan win out there, an offensive group or a defensive group? You know, Sabonis didn't get any assists tonight, and I thought the whole deal with him being more important is that he can facilitate a little more out of the pick and roll, and he didn't facilitate at all. So, I mean, that's not true. He did do some passes. He just didn't end up with any assists, but no facilitating for him. So, really, it was just an offensive impact versus defensive impact thing, and Nate opted for the defensive impact, and it seemed to work a lot of the game. The Pacers were getting a ton of transition opportunities for their guards, and that's why they were able to be so successful. And, you know, I already talked about those guys. But, yeah, the big man rotation was what it was, and I think that they both played really well, and they, you know, that's three games in a row of them both playing really good. Six games in a row of Turner playing very good. So that's a very encouraging sign going forward for this team. The less discussed thing was if Corey Joseph would get more minutes. People were kind of wanting him to start and guard Korver. And again, we'll get to Korver in a second. But I didn't think that made a ton of sense because you want the offensive potency at its highest if that could happen. And you saw it with Collison today. The offense was at its highest potency when he was on the court for sure. I wish I had the ratings in front of me for this individual game, but I don't. But I guarantee they had a higher offensive rating with Collison out there than with Joseph. But Kojo had 9 points, which for him is probably might be his highest in the series. I don't have that number in front of me either. He hit a three, which he hasn't been doing a lot of. Only turned the ball over once. Played awesome defense. But definitely shouldn't have started. Collison's whole thing, like I just said, is keeping the offense running, and he's doing that. Behind Vic, team second high, 5 assists for Collison. So that's what he's, you know, that's his thing, just keeping the offense moving, being a good shooter. He was 3 or 4 from deep, which was nice. So good stuff from all those guys. We pretty much touched on everybody. Bojan was game 5 Bojan again, not game 3 Bojan. 10 points, just plus 7. You know, he's pretty much just offering floor spacing at this point, and he's trying really hard on D, to his credit. He's been huge on that end of the floor. And then Thad was Thad, and Lance was Lance. Lance shot 40% from the field, but played pretty good D, plus 28 from Lance, like I said earlier. Home Lance is awesome when he's this impactful, you know. His energy is electric. The building loves it when he's in there. He keeps the Cavs at bay just because he could do literally anything at any second. So awesome to see him be a plus 28. That's exactly what you can expect from him. And then Booker, you know, 12 minutes, 2 shots. 4 points, 3 rebounds. Never going to be a guy who shows up as a highlight guy, but always does the little things well and is an exciting guy to watch when he's out there just because you know you have one of those high-effort guys. But exciting stuff. When they're up by this much, we got to see our first glimpse of playoff TJ Leaf for the first time of his career. He put up a nice, healthy 300 million, 3 minutes, no stats at all. But he was plus 5, yay. Joe Young got in for 2 minutes at the end. He didn't do anything. He had a foul, so yay, Joe Young. And then GR3 got 4 minutes of play, buried his only shot, got a rebound. Cool to see him finally get out there. GR3 might be worth a discussion at some point in the offseason. This has been very telling for him, just because the fact that he's been unable to play, it's hard to say if it's because of his injury or because he's just the 10th best guy on the team. But either way, you know, he could have an impact in the right role, but I don't think he'll ever be able to get meaningful minutes in the postseason with these guys. So it's tough to see what his role is going to be going forward with Indiana, but cool to see him get out there tonight. Hopefully that might be a thing that happens again, because that means the Pacers blew somebody out. With Korver, though, let's talk Korver. I've talked about Korver too often, but I'm going to keep doing it. Korver was 2-4 from the field and 2-4 from deep, which is meh. He made two. This is the first time the Pacers won when he made a three, but the two both came in the first 4 minutes of the game. And one they lost him on, and it was embarrassing, and I got mad online. That's a staple of me. I apologize for all my Kyle Korver tweets. I can't wait for him to be on the Pacers, not because I think he'd really help the team, but because he's not on a different team. But yeah, 2-4 from deep first in the first 4 minutes. But then they put Vic on him for an extended period of time, and that worked so well. Vic was fighting over everything to stay on him and not let him get shots, and that really changed the game around for him. So that might be something that they should go back to. And the Cavs got desperate. They went with some weird groups. Ante Zizic played in the 4 minutes when TJ Leaf was out there, but Tristan Thompson played 14 minutes, mostly in the second half. Chetty Osman played 8 minutes in this game. I think they were trying to mix and match a little bit more since they've had some groups that don't work well together, and they found some even more groups that don't work well together today. And they surrounded LeBron with all these funky lineups. LeBron, minus 24, second worst in the game besides Rodney Hood, 7-16, probably LeBron's worst game in the series. He continues to shoot well from three in the free throw line, though, which is scary because if he's shooting well, he's even more dangerous. But it is good to see them shut down Korver and Kevin Love in the same game. Really, just an all-around great defensive performance. I mean, I don't know what's more impressive, scoring 121 or giving up 87, but both incredible stat lines and all led by Victor Oladipo's triple-double and highlight reel dunk. Another thing for the Pacers team as a whole, pretty good three-point shooting, and by pretty good, I mean 50%, which is just unbelievable. They're going to win every game in the series if they shoot that well from three. It really made up for their struggles at the line. They missed 6 in the first half, which was yucky. But ending up with 15 of 30 from deep, you know, that's impossible to beat. And the Cavs, on the other hand, were 12 of 38. So there's your difference maker right there. 19% difference at the foul line is really going to do it. But yeah, we'll be back tomorrow to talk some Game 7, what I think changes we made from this game. I think the Cavs are going to try to, A, get George Hill back from a back injury, which would be huge. And I think Kevin Love is going to be the key to the next game. If they can get him going a little bit more in the paint than they did this time, they might have more success. But we'll have to see, and Adam will tell you what he thinks for changes tomorrow too. So thank you guys for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll be back tomorrow to preview the biggest game of the season.